And we really appreciate our good friend and City Councilman Tim Mayer bumping back to 8:25 this morning so we could talk to United States Senator Dan Coats. Tim, thank you again for your flexibility, and we appreciate you joining us here this morning as well.
Well, I'm glad the senator could talk to Bloomingtonians.
Yeah.
It is pretty neat.
We haven't spoken to him in about 6 months, and we had plenty to get to this morning. Sorry about the bad connection there at the end, but he's moving and shaking. So we're just, again, trying to – when we can get him, we'd love to have him on because that's a pretty – like you mentioned, that's pretty cool at that level. But it's also really cool to speak to you every Tuesday to help us get what's happening in the city. As we know, local government is very important in their job as well. And you guys have been busy in the last week or so.
We have been. We are getting ready to have a city council meeting tomorrow evening, 7:30, as usual, in the council chambers. We will pick up the legislation for second reading, which will be the signed ordinance that we talked about last time, which is basically banning signs, public signs, and the banning private signs in the public right of way. I finally got it right.
Yeah, we know what you mean.
And I, you know, the council was approving of it last Wednesday, and I believe there's a couple of amendments. I'm not sure exactly what they are yet. I haven't seen them, but there will be a couple of amendments brought forward by council members. According to staff, they're just pretty simple amendments, and they won't affect the outcome of the ordinance. So we're looking at that, and then we will have legislation for first reading, which is actually a voluntary coming forward to designate the historic Kirkwood Manor on the corner of Grant and Kirkwood. And those of you who remember when we had the discussion about Restaurant Row, the Historic Commission wanted us to take in that property all along 4th Street between Indiana and Lincoln, I think, Grant. But it also went up and took in the Kirkwood Manor. And at that time, the owners of that building came forward and said that they were not interested in doing that. They wanted to do it on their terms, which they now have done. So we will be reading that into the record tomorrow evening, and then we'll pick that up the following week in a committee of the whole meeting. So that's pretty much what's on our agenda for tomorrow.
Busy times, and obviously with the talk recently as well in the city has been about water rates and utilities. Mick Renheisen did a good job of helping us out last Thursday talk about that. There's some more information in today's paper about it. Is the utility part, people just hear the 22% and get worried or even it catches your eye, and you hear all that. What is the city's part in that? Is that just the utilities altogether, or does the council have anything to do with that moving forward?
Well, the council definitely has something to do with it. The council is the governing body that approves the rate increases, so we will be hearing that coming up in the next couple of weeks. Last night at the Utility Service Board meeting, there was a presentation from Vic Kelson, who's the director of the utility, and from John Skomf, who is a consultant with GoHoF out of Indianapolis, talking about the need for the rate increase and the projects that we'll be capable of doing once we get that rate increase in place. As it is pointed out in the paper today, the average rate user will probably receive about a $9 a month increase once that rate goes into place. And it's complicated in that the city of Bloomington must go through the Indiana Utility Rate Commission for approval of increases to the water rate. Which means that once the process gets started, once the Utility Service Board gives its approval to the rate increase, it then comes to the City Council. Once the City Council gives its approval, if it does give its approval, the water rate will then go on to the Indiana Utility Rate Commission, the IURC, which has up to 300 days to hear it. So it takes a little over a year to get a water rate increase in place. Now, that's not true of sewer rates because that's not regulated.
Let me ask you a dumb question. Why does it take 300 days? It seems so obvious and seems so...
Well, the IURC has a process that they go through, and that's a state government function.
They do that to protect the public, Tim? Is that what that's for?
There is an office. There's an office of the Consumer Rate Protection Group that is part of that deliberation. So the IURC is a quasi-judicial board that hears the appeal to raise the rates, and then the Office of Consumer Affairs is what it's called. It joins in, and they represent the ratepayers. So, and I think it's important to point out that, you know, everything that occurs in the city of Bloomington Utility Department is ratepayer based. There's no tax money supporting the water.
Why is that, Tim?
Well, it's the way the way it was set up.
The way the state set it up, or the way the city set it up?
Well, it functions under state law, and it's just the way the structure is set up to be. One of the things I noticed last night in the presentation was many of the communities in the city in the state of Indiana have private water companies. We are one of many that do have our own utility, but it's not uncommon to have private water companies as well. So we're not unique, but we do follow state law. So.
Tim, I'm reminded of the story about the man who drowned in 12 feet of water in a stream that had an average depth of 2 feet. When we start talking about a $9 average increase in the bill.
Right.
Whose average are we using? And I saw some numbers cited early on that said that the average bill already was X. I've never had a bill that low. And I, you know, it's just me. I can't imagine where some of these numbers come from.
Well, I think the way, thinking back to last night's presentation of the Utility Service Board, you know, your utility bill that comes to your house includes three things. It's water, wastewater, and stormwater. And at this time, the utility is looking at only two of those, water and wastewater. So, I think people sometimes get confused because when they say your water consumption will cost you this amount, they're not thinking about the cost for the wastewater or the stormwater.
So if we get 12 inches of rain in May, everybody's water bill is going up because that water needs to be treated and go somewhere.
That's part of what the utility is trying to correct, actually.
Okay.
And that is rainwater getting into the sewer treatment process.
Tim, I'm a dummy, and just help me out here.
Okay.
It rains 2 inches, the street floods, all the water goes down the drain. What's the difference between sewer and wastewater treatment? I'm confused.
Well,
sewer, I understand, comes from your house, perhaps?
No, what happens is, in some cases, as you'll notice if you read the article, when you read the article in the paper, it talks about failing sewer pipes. We have sewer pipes in the ground that exceed 75 years in age.
Is that a magic number for them? Because we didn't fix them at 50.
No,
it's not
a magic number, but it is a number where things start to
So it is magic.
Yes.
For all the bad reasons.
So basically, when you get into a period like we are right now, where it's very, you know, the ground is saturated, if there are opportunities for stormwater, rainwater to get into your storm sewer, into your sanitary sewer pipes, that water then, of course, goes down to your treatment plant. In our case, it's either Dillman or Blucher Pool. And that excess water increases the amount of demand on the plant. So the objective, and this has been for many years, going back to the Allison administration, we have been lining our sewer pipes over that period of time. We've been replacing sewer pipes, but you know, there's like 400 miles of sewer pipe in the community, So it, you know, it's an ongoing task that must always be addressed, and the objective always is to keep rainwater out of your sanitary sewer system, because you're treating, basically you're treating clean water once it enters your plant, and of course it's then been commingled with the sewer water, so it has to be treated. So that's one of the big projects that we'll be looking at to accomplish, is to mitigate as much of that stormwater infiltration into the sewer system. And it's also compounded by homeowners who basically run sump pumps into the sewer, or floor drains in their basement into the sewer, or their drain their roof downspouts into the sewer.
Tim, a real quick yes or no kind of question. Do we have any kind of an inventory to know how many lead pipes we have, or the things that are bad that are in the ground, the 75 years you talked about?
Not going back that far. In recent time, of course, everything is logged into the GIS system, so you know, we can tell you exactly where things are. But going back in time, no, they don't have that. There are lead joints in pipes in the sewer system. I don't think you would ever find a water main being made out of lead. Typically, those are made out of steel.
So we're not necessarily facing a Flint situation, Flint, Michigan.
No, not even close. Okay. And also they add minerals to the water system that helps coat that. So, you know, there may be exposed lead joints in pipes from days of yore, but you know, they're attentive to that. So, but it's not like the situation in Flint, Michigan. So,
well, Tim, good job. That was heavy lifting this morning.
Thank you for having me on this morning.
Well, thank you for making arrangements with us as well. Let us know what time the meeting is tomorrow night again.
It's at 7:30, and we'll meet in the council chambers. It is a regular city council meeting, so people can come, and they have 20 minutes at the beginning of the meeting to give their opinion on items not on the agenda. And then during our discussion, legislative discussion, the public is always welcome to come and join in the discussion. And I had told you earlier that I would not be available next week, but I will. So I'll give you a call.
That'll be our pre-Memorial Day show.
That's right. That's
right. The last day of school show with Glass and Tim.
Oh, fantastic.
There you go. All right. Well, great to hear that. And we'll get caught up on next Tuesday at our regular time.
Great.
All right. Thank you. Tim Mayer, City Councilman, joining us. And we'll be back next week. Good.